They're not good enough to start. They're not even good enough to play. But they do talk a good game. So come join Lou and Jose from the sidelines, where all the best sports discussions happen anyway. Welcome in to the Bench Warmers Podcast.
Welcome into the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri. That is Jose Ortiz. And this is the Bench Warmers Podcast. Wherever, whenever, and however you come to listening, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day, week, month, life to spend it with us. We are going to make it worth your while. This is Season 2, Episode 19. You can go back and listen to all of our previous episodes. iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor by Spotify is a new one that we're on. Thank you for letting us be part of that. You can also follow us along on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast. At the BW Pod on Twitter and the Benchwarmers.com for all of that information and some pretty good articles by Jose and myself. Benchwarmers with a Z for marketing purposes. This is basically the sports version of Christmas Eve. It's football is on the horizon. I'm excited. It's coming up. So this is an all football, all hour, all show, nonstop. Coming up, we have to make our week one NFL picks. I've been waiting months to say that, and it's finally here. We can finally start making some football picks. We also have to put our money where our mouth is, which is a segment we like to call another bit we're going to be doing later, talking about sports betting and giving you our bets that are, it in most common vernacular sports shows, it would be called the lock of the week. But I'll put your money where your mouth
or
is.
Or best bet.
But yeah, it's another. It's shortly, we're going to be recapping our division winners. We gave ourselves one. This is our final chance to make any tweaks, adjustments. We're going to give you our division winners, our playoff picture, and our Super Bowl picks. And this is the last chance we have to lock it in for the season. And we'll figure out maybe some sort of bet to deal with that a little bit later. But first, a little bit of NFL news. And this weekend, I've kind of forgot it was Labor Day. I don't know what you did, Jose. I kind of had an idea. I was like, I smelled somebody barbecuing outside my house today. And I was like, oh, right, it's Labor Day. It's the whole thing. And then I think I had three or four fantasy drafts. And I'm not going to do the annoying thing that everyone likes to do and say, hey, do you want to hear my team? No, I don't. I don't want to hear your team. I know my team. And I must have had 18 people this week because they know, you know, I'm into sports at work. They, hey, check out my team. Look at this team. Look at this team. With no context, mind you. I'm looking at a team and I was like, this team sucks. And they're like, oh, it's a 16 team league. I was like, oh, all right. Well, that's not bad. And then, I don't know. The only thing I'll ask about your fantasy drafts, because I know we were in a couple together. Did you find yourself, were there any common themes, any players that you found yourself picking over and over again? Is there any draft position that you found yourself was better than another?
Well, I was all over the place in my draft. I mean, sounds silly, sounds obvious, but I think a top four pick was ideal this year. But I found myself picking running backs a lot, and I picked Antonio Gibson and David Montgomery.
I saw Gibson a lot. Yeah, you were big on Gibson and McLaurin. I think was the other one I kept seeing.
Not a lot of McLaurin this year, but Gibson and Montgomery definitely. I didn't get a lot of McLaurin this year. I think I only got one share of it.
Okay. Yeah, I found myself. I picked Tom Brady a lot.
Yep.
I like Tom Brady. I think he's gonna just go crazy this year. A lot of Julio Jones. A lot of Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts was my go-to tight end because, you know, Darren Waller was my guy in the past, but now he's basically, everyone knows he's the, maybe the third, at worst, he's the third best tight end in the league right now. So a lot of that. Damien Harris, I've been touting him, so I wanted to put my money where my mouth is with him too, with being the Patriots running back. So a lot of New England defense. A lot of New England defense.
I was big on San Francisco defense because they play Detroit in week one and Philadelphia in week two. So, I mean,
New England's. I mean, they get a bunch of defensive players back. They play the Jets twice. You know, they play Tua. Yeah. You know, I think Buffalo's the only tough one in that division. But then the rest of their team, they play the Jaguars. Like they have a lot of just kind of Texans they play. So it's looking pretty good.
Okay.
So I kind of reverse engineered it. Devontae Smith was the other one I kept picking a lot.
I saw that
he was late round, and I remember watching the. a college championship and just seeing him just destroy the defense that he was playing in one half of football. And so I was like, you know what? He's on the Eagles. The Eagles don't really have a good wide receiver right now. Jalen Hurts is familiar with him, so maybe, you know, they might make something there. I don't know. So that's it. A lot of rookie. I always like the rookie wide receivers. I tried to pick Jalen Waddle where I could. Jamar Chase, though, is kind of up and down about because he does not seem to be having a good preseason. But
yeah, a little iffy on Jamar. Iffy on him.
And the Bengals offensive line. Okay. Yeah, so the same exactly. Okay. That's it. But so that's our Nick Chubb was the other one. He's another big guy. I took a couple places in my running back. I had a choice today, actually, between Zeke and Nick Chubb. And I was like, you know what? I don't trust Zeke. His numbers just – he's been disappointing year after year and progressively getting worse while Nick Chubb's been getting better. So even with Kareem Hunt there, it's still just Plus, I don't like picking players on the team that I root for, which just sounds weird. I mean, not that I don't really root for the Cowboys anymore. I kind of – like it's just a vestigial – loyalty I have to them. I try to partially because I've been kind of disenchanted by the entire team as a whole. I mean, I'm being tortured for 30 years, but also just doing this show more. It's easier to be objective when you don't have a horse in the race. So, and I don't know. It just, I've been trying to distance myself from being and now granted, if they make the Super Bowl this year, maybe that'll change, but.
I mean, I honestly feel the opposite way about having my fan. Like, I want to have 49ers players because I don't want to be in a position to root against them if they're playing against me. Like, if I'm playing someone who's got George Kittle, I don't want to be rooting against George Kittle to catch a touchdown. Like, okay, get right to the 1 yard line, George, and then fall down. Yeah. Don't score that touchdown. Don't score the touchdown. Or if we're up to get out of the game.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I like to pick players I don't have any emotional attachment to aside from being on my team. But speaking of players that no one has really any real emotional attachment to, some news in the NFL world. Texans name Tyrod Taylor their QB1 for the 2021 season, which means that Deshaun Watson, while he's on the team, is not going to be playing probably for the foreseeable future. I mean, he has kind of reiterated his stance that he does not want to be in Houston anymore. And obviously no one knows what's going on with all his legal off the field issues. So from what it seems like the asking price for him, which I think has been 3 firsts and 2 second round draft picks, is just too high for anyone. So it looks like the Texans are just going to spend $10 million to keep him on the bench this year.
Yeah. I'm not sure that he's going to ever play again. I know I've said that a few times. I'm just looking at it, you know, certainly not happening this year. Yeah. Then you've got the whole thing where he doesn't want to play for the Texans anymore. And this, who's going to really trade for him? They're not going to want to give him up without getting something. Like, I really worry that by the time we see him again, he's going to be in his late 20s or something like that. And it's just weird. I don't know. I just don't see this playing out well for either side. It's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, for sure. And in other news, both a lot of Ravens news, actually. And the good news is that Mark Andrews, their number one tight end, their Lamar Jackson's safety blanket, I should say, signed a four-year, $56 million extension, which is great for them. On the downside, their backup running back, who he was their third string running back, but then after J.K. Dobbins went down last week, Justice Hill became the backup to Gus Edwards, and now Justice Hill, we find out, has a torn Achilles, and just bad news for the Ravens running back room. They were interviewing Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell,
which is never a good sign your Devontae running back Freeman. Room. Just to start with the good news, very happy for Mark Andrews. I mean, he's among the top three or four. Maybe top five, certainly top five tight end in the NFL, makes him the third highest paid tight end, $37.6 million guaranteed. I mean, he's certainly probably the second best offensive weapon on their team after Lamar Jackson, so he deserves to get paid. I'm very curious to see. You know, Lamar Jackson's up next, so I'm very curious to see what kind of contract he's going to get. And Justice Hill, it's – it's just a shame because he was great in college, and you kind of keep waiting for this guy to get an opportunity, and he finally had like a sliver of a chance, and then he gets injured. The NFL is just a very cruel league, man.
Yeah, and that might affect, obviously, the Ravens' outcomes this season, and it's also probably going to affect our division winners and recap, which is something we have to do right now. So this is our final chance to change, make any last-minute amendments to our predictions from earlier in the offseason. And I figure we can just kind of start – we'll start in the AFC and just run down the divisions. We can kind of go, division by division and see if what we predicted and what we want to change.
So I'll start with the ones that we were completely the same on. So AFC East, we both had the Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets. Lou, do you see any reason to change that order?
You know what's funny? I have been contemplating moving the Patriots into the first spot there just because of Cam Newton being released and Mac Jones being promoted. It feels like that team is ready to rock, but I'm not that confident yet. So no, I came close, but no.
I actually had a thought about putting the Jets above the Dolphins just because of how excited I've been to watch Zach Wilson and Corey Davis is another guy who's been on a lot of my fantasy football teams.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's just really difficult to pull the trigger and really be confident. I know I had the Jets as a bounce back or a team to surprise, but it's hard to put your money
in. Not that much.
Yeah, it's hard to really, really buy in. So, yeah, I'm sticking to the same with the AFC East. Going to go to the AFC South, where we also had exactly the same. We had the Titans, Colts, Jaguars, and then Texans. So I imagine the only possible change here would be whether you want the Colts to go be in first place now that we know that Carson Wentz looks to be healthy heading into the season.
Yeah, I'm still not buying it. I mean, I think that team is good from top to bottom, but I don't trust Carson Wentz until I see it. So I think the Titans are going to win that division. So I'm staying right where I'm at with that order.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something to be said about continuity. And you know, the Titans are kind of an established team. They just added Julio Jones. There's not really any reason to be moving the Colts up. It's kind of a wait and see.
Yeah.
Would anyone be surprised if the Colts and them winning it all, winning the division? No, but no. I think right now the safe pick is the Titans.
Yeah.
All right, so go to the AFC West. We had a slightly different orders. You had the Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. I had the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders, so we were different with our third and fourth place teams. I'll tell you, I don't see any reason to change. I looked at the Broncos. The way you talk about the Dallas Cowboys is the way I feel about the Raiders. Just like, they're just a joke. I can't, you know, every time I want to believe in them, they disappoint me. So I'm not, they're last place.
I struggled with that because it just feels, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is there. Drew Locke is there. And that team does have some talent. You know, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant. They have some good, solid players, but I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is enough to get them kind of over those tough game humps. And then Vic Fangio, I'm still not convinced that he's a very good coach. And the Raiders always seem to have the same MO where they start out super hot and then they just fizzle out after Thanksgiving, which I think that's going to be enough to put them like a game ahead of the Broncos. So I'm sticking Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos.
All right, so we're both sticking the same. And then our last AFC division, Lou, you in the AFC North, you had the Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens, and then the Bengals. I had it the Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals. So we had the second and third place teams switched. Mm-hmm.
I was honestly gonna change it to the Ravens in second place, but then after seeing the Justice Hill news, it feels like I hate to say it, you know, the Ravens might be catching the injury bug in that locker room, and we've seen it with the Chargers in the past, you know, year after year. We've seen it with the Vikings, we've seen
49ers,
you know,
last year
49ers. Yeah, so I know it's kind of a superstitious look at it, but I think the Steelers are just, I think Ben's swan song, even though their offensive line's not going to be as good as it was, I think Najee Harris is going to do a much better job than James Conner did last year. And overall, I mean, that defense is just disturbingly good. So I'm sticking.
Yeah, this, it's weird. I hate to be undramatic here, but I'm just like, I just really don't have a lot of faith in the Steelers. And I think what we saw at the end of the season with the Steelers last year is probably closer to the reality this season. And for that reason, I'm sticking with the Ravens in second place. All right, moving on to the NFC quickly here. We have the NFC North, same exact order. I had the Packers. Actually, we both had the Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. I can't imagine there's anything that's happened in the last few weeks that would change that.
No, I mean, the COVID concerns and the vaccine stuff with Kirk Cousins makes me a little nervous. But if he's out there, there's no reason that that team shouldn't compete for that division. So I'm sticking with it.
I think I'm going to have my first change here in the next one. We have the NFC South. You had the Bucks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers in first place, Carolina Panthers, then the Saints, then the Falcons. I had the Bucks, Carolina, then the Falcons, and then the Saints. I don't know why I had. I'm just looking. I was like, why would I believe more in the Falcons than I do in the Saints? So I'm just going to go ahead and jump the gun here and put the Saints in third place and the Falcons in fourth.
I think that's. I would agree with that, actually.
Yes, because that's exactly what you're.
That's what I had.
What it was.
Yep.
Okay, going to the NFC West. We were a little different here. You had the Seahawks, Rams, 49ers, and Cardinals. I had the Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, and Cardinals. So really the difference here was the division winner and then the second place. You've got the Seahawks winning. I've got the Rams winning. Everything else is basically the same.
Yeah, I think and this one was hard too, because I do think the Rams are going to be special this year, especially with that defense. But it is Matt Stafford's first season after, 12 years in the same system. So I think it's going to take a little getting used to. I think they're going to start off a little rocky and then get it together. And like you said before, continuity is what counts early on. So Seahawks are just, they're probably going to get rolling early. So I'm sticking Seahawks, Rams, Niners, Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Rams in first place too. I mean, I think the Rams won, 11 games last year or 10 games last year with Jared Goff as their quarterback. They've got to be able to do at least as good, if not better, with Matthew Stafford. So Matthew Stafford's a veteran. I expect him to be just as good, if not better, than Goff was this year or last year. So, yeah, I'm sticking with the Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals. Okay, so then that leaves us with our last division, the NFC East. You've got the Washington football team, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. And we are way different on this one. I've got the Cowboys winning, the Giants in second, and the Washington football team in third, and then the Eagles in last place, which, you know, Washington, they did win the division last year, so it's a bit of a, you know, bit of a hot take there. But I don't really, as much as I like Washington, I feel like the only thing I might consider changing is moving Washington ahead of the Giants. And I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to put the Washington football team in second place and the Giants third.
Yeah, we saved the worst for last, this division. So I am going to make one change here. And I think with the news that Evan Ingram yet again is hurt yet again.
My goodness.
It just, I mean, he's such a weapon. And, you know, just looking at some that. I just don't know what to expect from the Giants. I think the Cowboys now seeing that Dak is, it seems like his shoulder issues are gone. And thankfully, Ben DiNucci is not there anymore. So maybe they'll actually get a good backup quarterback. I think they have Cooper Rush at this point. I'm gonna put the Cowboys in second. I still think Washington is the best team. I'm going to put the Cowboys 2, the Giants 3, Eagles 4.
Okay, so I'm going to make that change.
Yeah.
And then
you have to kind of go through seven playoff teams, obviously the division winners plus
three. All right. So I'll run through my NFC playoff teams. Bucks, I'm going to put this in the order of seeding. I'm not sure if you did it that way, but this is how I did it. Bucks, Green Bay, Rams, Cowboys, Seahawks, 49ers, and then Vikings. In the NFC, I have the Chiefs, Bills. AFC. I have the Chiefs, Bills, Browns, Titans, Ravens, Chargers, and Patriots.
We might have the same exact thing in no particular order. I didn't rank them. I just kind of highlighted them.
That's fine.
NFC, I have Washington, Green Bay, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Rams, 49ers.
Wow.
AFC, Bills, Patriots, Browns, Steelers, Titans, Colts, Chiefs.
Hold on.
So I think that's seven each. Yep. So division winners obviously make the playoffs. And then now it used to be two wildcard teams. Now it's a third. And
so I think the only difference, though, in the NFC, though, the difference is I have the Cowboys making it and you have the Washington football team making it. It's just based on who we think is going to win the division. Yeah. That's just, it's that simple.
Yeah.
And the AFC, I have the, you have the Steelers instead of the Ravens, and I don't have the Colts in there. I have the Patriots instead.
So I also had the Patriots.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm sorry. Can you read your AFC team again?
AFC, Bills, Patriots, Browns, Steelers, Titans, Colts, Chiefs.
Okay, so we did have both. So I have the Chargers in there, and you don't have the Chargers. You have the Colts, and I have the Chargers, and then we Steelers or even. So we have two differences in the AFC, one difference in the NFC.
Lou, I did think about putting the Chargers in there, and I'll tell you why I didn't, is the Colts play the Jaguars and the Texans twice, and that just felt like it was going to put them over the top. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Who do you have as your Super Bowl team?
Buccaneers. I know it's not a sexy pick, but it's hard to think that Tom Brady, with a full offseason and a full complement of returning players from a championship team, is not going to do what he always does. The AFC was a lot harder. I went back and forth, and I know it's easy to say the Chiefs, but I'm going to go Browns. I think the Browns from top to bottom are just a talented, super talented team. You know, I'm not big on Baker Mayfield, obviously, as anyone who's listened to the show knows, but I am big on the rest of that team. Their defense, I think, is going to be lights out. Their running game, their receivers, assuming Odell Beckham can actually play for a year. It just, they were so close, and, you know, they were a play away from beating the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes got hurt, but still, I mean, that's confidence inspiring to know that you had the champs on the ropes. And it just feels like this is do or die for the Browns this year.
Well, do you have the Bucks beating the Browns or the Browns beating the Bucks? Okay.
Yeah, the Browns still lose. Yeah, the Browns still lose the Super Bowl, of course, but
okay.
The Bucks, yeah, I don't think anybody is as talented and seasoned as the Bucks are.
So we have an eerily similar Super Bowl picks. I also have the Browns getting to the Super Bowl, and I also have them losing in the Super Bowl. I have them losing to the Rams, though. It's not that I just think that the Rams have, you know, when you have a strong defense, it just, and you have a, and they're going to have a competent offense, I think they have a chance. And, you know, it's very difficult to repeat in the NFL, which is why we haven't seen it happen too many times. I wanted to pick the Bucks, but I just thought about, you know, like, to win a championship, you need things to bounce your way. You need some luck. And
do you remember the last guy to do it?
Yeah, it was Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady, and it happened like 20 years ago. You know, as good as those Bucks, as good as he was, and as good as those Patriots teams have been, it's just hard to repeat. And so I'm betting with history that they won't repeat. And I'm going with the Rams, knocking them off.
You know what? I'm gonna. This is way out, and we'll probably forget it. I'll write it down. But I think I'm gonna pick the Rams to win it next year because I just don't think that Matt Stafford can do what Tom Brady just did, because it was so almost unprecedented to see a quarterback move to a new team and just click on all cylinders.
I feel like the leap is not the same. We're not talking about the Buccaneers of Jameis Winston's Buccaneers to Tom Brady's Buccaneers. We're talking a Chiefs team, a Rams team that basically almost won the division a year ago.
No, so. it's a great pick. I mean, I applaud it. I think if those two, I could see that easily being the NFC Championship, easily.
Man.
So,
okay.
I
just
think the Bucks. I can't bet against Tom Brady. Just can't.
So, yeah, no, it's fair. And so we both have the Browns losing, but I think the Browns would still take that. I think they would still take that.
Yeah, if I'm a Browns fan, absolutely.
Yep.
But all right.
There you go.
So that's our recap, and that works fittingly because coming up in just a second, we have to make all of our week one picks. So we'll do that. And we have our sports bet of the week. We each have a lock of the week, if you will. So stick around. We have a lot still to get to on the Benchwarmers podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Benchwarmers podcast. Follow along with us on the Benchwarmers podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Welcome back to the Benchwarmers podcast, where being all talk is actually a good thing. Now, back to the action. Or talk, I guess.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. I am Lou Ruggieri, and that is Jose Ortiz, and this is still the Benchwarmers podcast. Go and follow us along on iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, Anchor by Spotify, or you can follow us along on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at The Benchwarmers Podcast, at The BW Pod on Twitter, or go to TheBenchwarmers.com for all things Lou and Jose. Benchwarmers, this is Season 2, Episode 19, our 69th show overall. We're moving right along. We touched on it's all football all the time. This is the Christmas Eve of sports. Week 1 of the NFL season is a few days away, and we can't be more excited. We went through, and you can go back and listen to our first segment on all of the aforementioned platforms. We picked and revised some of our division winners, our playoff teams, and made our Super Bowl picks. We both have the Browns losing. I have the Bucks beating the Browns, and Jose has the Rams beating the Browns. It is now time, Jose, to do our week one NFL picks. I have been waiting months and months and months to say this, and I cannot believe it's here. I'm so excited. I know you're supposed to enjoy and live life every day and enjoy every day. I want to skip ahead to Thursday night, just get to football. I would sacrifice a day of my life just to hurry up and be there already. So let's make some picks.
All right. Well, I imagine we're going to start with our put your money where your mouth is. So for this segment, just in case you don't realize, we're picking against the spread using the DraftKings sports book.
Correct.
I have gone through and I liked the New York Giants +3 at home against the Broncos. Not saying the Giants are going to be a great team or anything, but I don't think the Broncos are a great team either. The fact that they're going to be at home and getting 3 points.
Yeah, it's true. It's
good. I like
that's
that.
It's a good call. I went with what I thought was the easiest bet of the year. it is week one, Cowboys, Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are -8. As of today, and I would take that and the over, quite honestly, because I think, you know, Tom Brady has had an entire offseason to prepare for one game, and the Cowboys defense was historically bad last season. And now you have Gronkowski, Goddard, Godwin, rather, Mike Evans, OJ Howard, you have Giovanni Bernard's there now. I mean, I think this is going to be a field. And even if Micah Parsons is as good as advertised for the Cowboys, it's still going to be his very first NFL game in what is going to be watched by something that could maybe only be topped by the Super Bowl in terms of audience views. So I think he's going to be overwhelmed, and that defense is going to be overwhelmed. And 8 points, I'd probably take 18 points, honestly. I think the Bucs are going to blow them out, and it's not going to be close.
Yeah, that's a scary line for me because I feel like I can see it going either way. I could see the Buccaneers blowing them out. I could see the Cowboys hanging with them.
Yeah, I just think the Bucs defense is too good. I think they're going to shut the Cowboys offense down. They're going to be out of sorts and out of sync, and they're going to shut down the running game, which means Dak is going to have to be a superhero, and he's been out for an entire year. So I think there's too many things against
Dallas. I could see them being up like 20 points or like up big, like heading into the fourth quarter. And then like, you know, the you know how it happens all of a sudden, like 14 points,
yeah,
you know, score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and make it look closer than it actually was. But you know, it's an interesting, it's just a big line.
Yeah,
but
it is. Listen. Absolutely.
But okay. I agree. All right.
So let's needless to say, yeah, my week one pick for that for Thursday night is Buccaneers.
Yeah, and I'm taking the Buccaneers as well. Like,
this is just win-loss.
Yeah, win-loss here. So let's go ahead and get into our 1 o'clock games, or just get into the Sunday games. Philadelphia at Atlanta. I've got Atlanta.
At Atlanta. Philly at Atlanta. Yeah, I'll go Atlanta. That one's tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Here's another tough one. Pittsburgh at Buffalo.
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 I think the Bills are just a force this year.
Minnesota at Cincinnati. I've got Minnesota. As much as I feel like Cincinnati is a team on the rise, I just think we might be 4 or 5 games away from that.
Yeah, I think it's Minnesota, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah. San Francisco at Detroit. You know, I was talking to someone about the 49ers. Like, you know, because of the fact the 49ers were 6-10 last year in the last place, they get to play a last place schedule. Mm-hmm. And so you get to play the Lions week one. I love it as a 49ers fan. Give me the 49ers all day.
Yeah. I mean, the Lions, if it weren't for the Texans, I think the Lions could be in the conversation for worst team in the 2021 season. You know, new coach. I mean, Jared Goff is, in my opinion, a downgrade from Matt Stafford. They didn't really do much to improve really anywhere, honestly. So the 49ers are just going to – I mean, Joey Bosa might eat Jared Goff alive. So, yeah, I think it's 49ers, and it's not close.
It's interesting because I go back and forth between which team is worth the Lions or the Texans. I'm not sure.
It has to be the Texans.
I guess so. I guess so, but – man, the Lions just have no talent at all, other than DeAndre Swift. So, okay.
But the Texans have they have David Johnson.
They have no talent either. Wow.
They lost Randall Cobb. I guess they still have
Brandon Cooks.
Cooks is there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Those teams are so bad that like you could combine them. He's like, hey, we're going to take the best 53 players from your two teams combined.
Yeah.
And you would still have a terrible team. That's how bad they are.
That's what I think they should do in the NFC East, is just combine forces, just be one juggernaut. And
like
have
the Power Rangers or something like that.
Yep. Voltron.
All right. Moving on here. Arizona at Tennessee. Very interesting game.
I'm going to go Tennessee only because they're at home. I think... Yeah. Tennessee with Julio Jones is going to be even better. Ryan Tannehill is a B+, A- quarterback at this point. He had a great year last year. And the Cardinals, I just don't know. I expected them to take a step forward last season, and they didn't. And it felt like they kind of sputtered out and tripped on their own feet towards the end. The Titans just seem like a better team from top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree. The Titans do seem like a better team. I went back and forth on this a little bit because I thought Arizona, you know, go back in time here, at the beginning of last year, or beginning of the season, Arizona looked amazing.
Yeah. Great start.
And so part of me wonders, do they get off to that amazing early season start again? I don't really know. But, you know, Tennessee is kind of... You know, Tennessee might be the most boring team in the NFL. Like, they're just, you know, they're a good team, but it's just hard to get really excited about them.
I think that changes this year because A.J. Brown is turning into a beast. Yeah. Julio Jones, I mean, you can make the case that Julio Jones is their number two receiver, which is playing number two cornerbacks, I mean, he's going to still dominate. And Derrick Henry, I mean... The only person that, you know, people that don't want to see Derrick Henry running the ball are the defenses he's facing. Otherwise, it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I just wonder if part of me wonders if they've hit their ceiling a little bit, but you know, I guess we'll see. I I'm not as bullish on Julio Jones and the upgrade that he brings to the offense, even against number two receivers. I didn't see a dominant receiver last year. Perhaps he was injured, and we'll see a healthy Julio Jones this year. But if you recall, basically throughout his entire career, he's been battling nicks and bruises basically all the time. So, all right, moving on here. Another interesting opening week matchup, Seattle at Indianapolis. I'm going to tell you, I took Seattle here. I thought about taking Indianapolis because of how different Seattle plays when they're on the road versus at home. But I think the Colts are a little bit in early season disarray here based on, like, is Carson was playing? Is he not playing? And then the growing pains that you referenced with the Rams, I think, could apply also to the Colts. So I'm going to go with Seattle here.
Yeah, I think that Carson Wentz will figure it out if he can stay healthy and become a lot better. But I think a little bit of that sort of Eagles PTSD is still going to be there early on. And I do think that Jamal Adams is going to be the cause of that PTSD. And while the Seahawks defense isn't great, Jamal Adams is great, and he is a sack machine. So coming off the edge, I think he can spook Carson Wentz into making mistakes, which means that the Seahawks are probably going to win this game relatively easily, I would think.
Yeah. So far we have no differences. We're all the same on our games, which is fine. This is a 17-week or 18-week now competition. So this in a battle of potential up-and-coming NFL teams, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Washington football team.
Wow.
Who are you taking here?
It's at Washington. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick in September is MVP level. But Justin Herbert was rookie of the year last year. Man, that defensive line is really good. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm going to go with talent. I think the Chargers can beat them.
Yeah, this was a tough one for me. I ultimately went with the Washington football team because they're at home. I think they're going to be returning a strong defense that we could, in theory, expect to be better. And they're going to have a better offense than they did last year, in theory, once again. I think the same can all be said for the Los Angeles Chargers, honestly, too. But
I mean, Derwin James can actually play a game for the first time in his entire NFL career, be great, because I keep hearing about how good he is or will be. So maybe we'll get week one and then he'll get hurt, you know, after I mean, I hope he doesn't, but it just seems like that's the way it's shaping out for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is a toss-up game. Flip a coin. I'm going to go with Washington football here. New York Jets at Carolina.
Carolina. I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I agree. Take Carolina. We both have Carolina.
Panthers defense is getting better and better. You know, Zach Wilson looks like he has potential, but I don't know if that team does. And it's not a good look. I mean, Robert Saleh is going to be his first game coaching. He's got a lot to figure out, and a team that isn't particularly very good. Their defensive line is okay, but I think Matt Rhule and the Panthers are just a better team.
Yeah, the Jets are a team that they're missing a few.
Sam Darnold revenge game. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Jets are. That's a really good point. But the Jets are one of those teams that are just kind of. They just don't really have a ton of offensive talent. We've seen them. They drafted Elijah Moore, drafted Michael Carter. We'll see what kind of impact those players will make. But right now, Carolina is a better team on paper, not even close. And in the worst game of the year, Jacksonville at Houston. I've taken Jacksonville because
to be Jacksonville.
It is at Houston. And I wouldn't be surprised.
James Robinson. I mean, the Jaguars don't have a bad receiving core either. I mean, DJ Chark.
They don't have a good one, though.
Well, but they're Rory Jones. I mean, it's better than the Texans.
I mean, LaVisca Chenault. Yeah, listen. And that's the bottom line. It's just the Texans are just so bad that, like, really.
And I don't think the Texans are going to try. I just think that they've resigned themselves to just being kind of the punchline of jokes this year. And I think that they just gave up. They have their best players saying, I don't want to be here. I mean, that's hard to get away from in a locker room.
Let me put you on the spot here. Over under one win for the Texans? Because
I think it's a push.
The reason I ask is because I haven't looked at the Texans schedule, but I feel like we're going to be saying the same thing every week, right? Yeah. How can the Texans win? They have no talent. They're terrible. We actually did this exercise a couple weeks ago. We saw only a possibility of 3 wins on their schedule completely. So
I mean, if you set it at 1.5, I'd probably take the under.
I think this team goes 0-16. I really think they go 0-17. I'm sorry.
It's really hard to go 0-17.
It's really hard to go 0-17, but it's really hard to have a team that bad.
I think they have a moment of pride. I think they catch somebody off guard and they get a lucky bounce or break or something. I think they win one game.
All right. Well, from the worst game of the season to maybe one of the best games of the season, or at least of week one, Cleveland at Kansas City.
I mean, this could be AFC Championship right here.
Yeah.
Cleveland at Kansas City. Man. I want to say Kansas City because they're at home.
That's exactly why I picked.
Give me the Browns.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the Browns come out and have with something to prove.
I felt the same way, but I ultimately took Kansas City. I just think week one at home.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, but I think.
All right.
I think the Browns are a better team, honestly, from top to bottom. I know that. Overall, I mean, not top to bottom, but I think that, you know, the Chiefs obviously have some of the best players in the league, but it's just, I don't know. I think that Browns defense is going to be pretty good.
I think the Browns have a long journey ahead of them, and this is the type of game they lose to kind of like, it's like a look in the mirror moment. Like, hey, you know, we're feeling good about yourself. And they haven't been talking that much or anything like that. But, you know, you go into the season feeling, hey, we're not going to let this happen again. Is you go into Kansas City, the place where it all ended last year, thinking you're going to do something, you get slapped in the mouth and realize, okay, we have a lot of work left. I see them getting over the hump in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would kind of think that maybe Odell Beckham could look across the field and say, hey, I remember when I was the most exciting player in football, and now that guy is taking my crown. Maybe he'll, I don't know, we'll see.
All right, so you got Cleveland, I got Kansas City.
I'll take Cleveland, yeah.
All right. Miami at New England, and I'll tell you, I've taken New England here. I think we both are in agreement about New England being.
Man, I think it's New England's, and it's not close. I think New England puts a spanking on.
This is a statement game for New England Patriots, like where everyone's like, "Oh, wait a minute, the Patriots aren't done yet." Like this is a statement.
And Bill Belichick is going to want to stick it to Brian Flores, and the Dolphins. Keep in mind that Will Fuller is still suspended.
Yeah.
And I think Devontae Parker is hurt. Jalen Waddle is going to be it's his first game ever. And Tua is suspect. So I just think the Patriots are going to abuse them, and it's going to be pretty ugly.
Yeah, and you forgot, you know, they have a mediocre backfield with Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, and Malcolm Brown. So,
yes.
Yeah, not that's – yeah, New England all the way, especially
– Keep an eye on Matthew Judon. By the way, for the Patriots, I think he's a sneaky good pickup that no one really has talked about.
All right, how about Green Bay at New Orleans? Now, I just want to, you know, remember New Orleans is going, you know, just had the Hurricane Ida, and I feel like the last time they, you know, Hurricane Katrina, kind of launched the new era of the Saints as we know it, and so it's kind of. I wonder if there's going to be kind of a same rallying moment. They're not going to be playing in New Orleans. I forget exactly where they're playing. Actually, look that up while you're talking.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was trying to look that up, actually. But, yeah, I think it's the Packers, honestly, because I think Jameis Winston's his first game. He's going to be a little rusty. And I think that game is coming that you're talking about. Remember that Falcons game? It was against the Falcons that the Saints won.
Yeah.
It was like a Monday night game. And with the punt block – and Michael Vick got shut down, and that was kind of the big coming out party for the Saints. But I think that game is coming. I just don't think it's here yet because, honestly, I mean, the city of New Orleans, you know, I hope they get the help they need, but some of them are still without power. I mean, they're not ready to rally yet because they're still in chaos.
Yeah, and honestly, it won't be until they get back to the Superdome anyway, right? Like, it's not like, they're going to be, I think they're playing in Jacksonville.
Yes.
So that's exactly, they're playing in Jacksonville.
It was going to be in Texas, and then they moved it to Jacksonville. That's right. Yeah.
So I've taken Green Bay as well. I just wanted to throw out the narrative. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, it was very reminiscent of it, but either way. All right, let's get through this here. Denver at New York Giants.
I'll take Giants.
I've got the Giants as well.
Yeah.
That's it. I took the Giants. That was my +3 at home against, you know, like I'm taking them anyway, so I may as well
take them. Yeah, I think the Giants at home, I think everybody is going to be relatively healthy except, of course, Evan Engram for week one for the most part. So they should, by all accounts, the Giants should win that game.
All right, Sunday Night Football. Chicago at Los Angeles Rams.
I think the Rams, and I don't think it's particularly close. Yeah. I think it's Andy Dalton's first and last game as a Bear, or at least as a starting quarterback for the Bears, and Aaron Donald is going to just have a field day.
Where he gets sacrificed at the altar, yes.
Yeah.
Completely agree. Los Angeles Rams. And then another, I mean, sometimes I feel like, and you know, you're going to think I'm just kissing your butt here. I feel like sometimes you should be the commissioner of the NFL, or at least of the scheduling. Hey, your first Monday Night Football game, Baltimore at Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I would rather see Chicago at Los Angeles Rams Monday Night Football, honestly. Or how about?
Well, Browns Chiefs should be a primetime game. I don't know why Sunday night is not Chiefs and Browns. That's crazy. That is easily the best game of the week. Steelers-Bills. Why is Steelers-Bills a 1 o'clock game? That might be the second best game of the week, and it's a 1 o'clock game. I mean, Seahawks Colts is interesting. It's a 1 o'clock game. What is even Packers Saints is interesting. I mean,
New England Miami. Honestly, yeah, it's a divisional game.
Yep.
Like Baltimore at Las Vegas. Now I get it, right? Because the NFL is trying to spread the love, right? They don't want to have all the same teams be in prime time all the time. They want to make sure all the fan bases get some love, but it's week one.
Yeah.
It's week one. Get a solid team. This is how you know they have so much money that it doesn't even matter, because there's no way that this is the best game they should be putting on. But either way, I've got Baltimore easily beating the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the Sunday, the Browns Chiefs is the Fox game. I think they get to pick before the ESPN does. So I'm assuming that's going to be the game of the week, or you know, America's game of the week, or whatever Joe Buck says all the time. So that's probably where that comes from. But still, the Sunday night game should be better. I mean, even Dolphins Patriots is way more interesting than Bears Rams. And whatever. I mean, it should be an interesting game, but I think the Ravens win this game. I think Lamar Jackson runs roughshod over the Raiders' pathetically paltry defense, and I think this game is over by about halftime.
Yeah, I've got Baltimore as well. Basically, everything you said is exactly what I'm thinking. It's not going to be close, but stranger things have happened. All right, so we're really only different. I've got Washington football team. You've got the Los Angeles Chargers. I've got Kansas City. You've got Cleveland. Everywhere else, we're exactly the same. So the only two differences to start the week, start the season, but there's a lot of football left, so we'll have plenty of time to be disagreeing.
Yeah, and last season, we split, right? To put our money bets and our
picks. Yeah, last season you were the champion for the money bets. It really wasn't particularly close. You won by a bunch. And then I was the regular season champion with just straight up picks. It was a little bit closer. It would have been closer if you hadn't been trying to go for it all in the final week, just picking like anyone that you could just pick to be different than mine.
It
ended up backfiring and making it a little bit more lopsided than it actually was. And then you ended up being the overall winner because of the playoffs. So you were the football champion last year, and I'm coming for the crown this season.
Yeah, I think we should have some sort of belt or something made this year. I don't know. Yeah. I think dinner. I don't know if we did a playoff one, but it was, I think, dinners each, and we split. Yeah. So we just kind of, they were, it was a push.
Yep.
So this year we'll figure something out. Maybe it's the same thing, and we'll come up with a belt or a crown, or I don't know, something, helmet. But it's going to be fun. And one extra game, so even more time to try to make a comeback. So that is going to be it, I think. This is Season 2, Episode 19 for the last time. You can go and listen to all of our previous episodes, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Anchor by Spotify as our new platform we're on. Anywhere you get your podcast. You can find us there. Follow us along Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, at the Benchwarmers Podcast, at the BW Pod on Twitter, or go to thebenchwarmers.com for everything and anything involving the NFL season that we have to talk about. So that's going to do it. For Jose Ortiz, I am Lou Ruggieri, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.